Developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with a trace of hard work, honesty, and integrity. For more information, make sure you visit www.pactsinc.org to learn more about the organization, the members of the organization, how you yourself can become a member or donate, how you can get involved in the activities they have. And as I always tell you, hover your mouse over that More tab. You'll see the drop-down box come down. You'll see the Learning Center. Hover your mouse over that. And take advantage of all the free resources that PAX Inc. offers you. Once again, our website is www.pactsinc.org. And while you're online, make sure you visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. You can learn more about myself, Patrick, Enigma September, and the plethora of shows that we have right here on the Freedom Train Network for your listening pleasure. And also make sure you download our Freedom Train Network app in the Google Play Store so you can stay in touch. Just bam, one button away and we there. Ain't that right, Pat?
Word.
Word, man. No, you gotta be enthusiastic when you say that, my bro.
Word.
There you go. You gotta say it like Cameo. Word up. Put a little, you know, a little hip thrust in it.
Negative.
Hey, man, whatever. Everything been good with you, though, my brother?
Yeah, man, it's been good. You know, I'm still alive, and that's always the preferred way to be.
Man,
so,
if you want to be something, better be available, man.
Well, you know, being alive is a prerequisite to being anything else, I guess, other than dead.
There you go. If you want to be somewhere, if you want to be somebody, if you want to go somewhere, you better wake up and pay attention. I learned that in the song, in the movie.
And popsicle sticks.
There you go. All that stuff.
What we got, Joe?
So today, we have a gentleman who has a very interesting story. And I decided, hey, man, let's go ahead and bring his brother on the podcast and talk about it. So at the age of 8, he started his first business. And over his years, he successfully owned 12 businesses in 7 different industries. He received a degree from USC out of California. He has a wealth of knowledge in many different industries as a CEO, as a boss. So that leads to him having the skills to motivate others, because if you have to run a business, you have to be able to motivate others to be able to, you know, take hold to your goal, to your dream, or whatever. So that leads to him going by the name of Tim the Motivator. So he's a business motivational speaker. He's also a youth development speaker. And he also does workshops, seminars, online, offline. Topics range from Rich by 21, financial literacy, teampreneurship, kidpreneurship, from business startup, personal development, multiple streams of income, the rich dad, poor dad quadrant, cash flow quadrant, certain topics and things that he can't present to the masses. And I just felt like this brother needed to come on the show so we could talk to him and my audience can get to know him, because he's got a lot to offer. So I want everybody to get up on your feet, put your hands together for Mr. Timothy Simpson, a.k.a. Tim the Motivator. How you doing today, my brother?
Pretty good, man. Thanks for the awesome introduction, and thanks for having me on your platform, man.
No problem, no problem, my man. Thank you for what you do out here. I know since the first time we corresponded, I've been looking at your information and seeing what you do in the community. So I want to make sure we go ahead and get you right here on this podcast.
Yes, sir. Look, thanks again for inviting me, man. I appreciate it.
No problem, no problem. So, Pat, let's go ahead and do this thing. You know, you got the first question, so let's kick it off.
So the first question has got to be, how'd you become Tender Motivator?
Okay, good question. Now, I've been listening to motivational speakers for like the last 20 years, but not to give away my age, I'm 38, but since I was in college, I've been listening to motivational speakers like Les Brown, Zig Ziglar, Anthony Robbins, more recently Eric Thomas, so all the greats. And I just, thought Tim the Motivator was pretty catchy because initially I kind of wanted to be a motivational speaker, and then as I became a business coach, things changed. And then I changed the title to a business motivation speaker because I motivate people to pursue entrepreneurship. So that's kind of where it came from.
Okay. Okay. So what's some background information about yourself, like leading up to you becoming Tender Motivator? Like, who are you? What kind of led you to becoming this person that you are now?
Gotcha. Well, I got to start with my parents. I actually had a stepdad who married my mom at 2. He was in the Army, so I traveled the world with them. Like, I lived in Germany 8 years, Oklahoma, Kansas, Georgia. So I'm from South Carolina, a little small town called Cross Hill, South Carolina. But I traveled the world as an Army brat, so my stepdad was like my superhero. My mom, she was the first entrepreneur in my family. She was, awesome. And then I also had a biological father who was there. He's a district circuit judge at Asheville, North Carolina. So basically, my real life story is rich dad, poor dad. My poor dad was in the Army. My rich dad became a judge. So I learned different things from both of them. My poor dad, I learned character building, loyalty, honor, family ties, things like that. So all the intangibles from my real dad. I learned how to be a dreamer, how to be persistent, how to be around the right network of people to elevate your consciousness. And then from there, like I said, I started my first business at 8, second one at 10, third one at 12, and then from age 19 to now 38, I own, a slew of businesses ranging from four cleaning companies, 2 tire shops, 2 restaurants, digital marketing company, lawn care service, several online businesses, made over $3 million. Like I said, I went to college. I did go to HBCU first. I went to Benedict first, then transferred to the University of South Carolina, so I'm a Gamecock. I was going to school to pursue to be a lawyer and a sports agent, but, I have been running businesses the whole time, so I was, I felt like I was making more than my professors. I had my first employees at 21. So just all my life experiences plus personal development, how my family raised me, pretty good family unit from the parents to the aunts, grandparents, cousins, young and older. So they all helped mold me into what I am today.
That's interesting. So at 8 years old, and I see you had the dynamic of both the fathers giving you different type of information, but at 8 years old, like what was really the force that pushed you to say, I'm going to start my own business?
Gotcha. Good question. A lot of people ask me that. I tell them at that point, I didn't really know too much about entrepreneurship. I just knew that work equaled pay. So like I tell youth that I speak to, I turned my chores into cash. So I grew up doing chores. I believe in chores. I grew up washing dishes, cutting the grass, raking the leaves, doing all that stuff, helping my mom with her in-home daycare. So at 8, I wanted to basically buy toys and candy. So I started a community cleanup program in Fort Sill, Oklahoma. We was helping the Army families move in and out, clean their houses. My first employee was my oldest sister. She's a year older than me, and then my best friend, Tito, and, we had a little crew.
That's cool because, we are having a wave now of especially black parents looking to get their kids more into entrepreneurship from an early age. And a lot of them may not know where to start or what to do. So you kind of see a lot of the same things repeated, and it's not a big deal, but it seems like you have information to be able to help those parents help their kids become better entrepreneurs.
Yes, sir, absolutely. I own a global youth entrepreneurship academy called Junior CEO Academy, and the website is just jrceoacademy.com. So we basically teach like four prerequisite courses. We teach entrepreneurship, which, you know, they actually launch a real business. We teach personal development, leadership, and financial literacy. So similar to y'all's core values, you know, we're big into economics and, you know, generational wealth and, you know, just everything that, you know, means, spells out empowerment.
Okay. There you go, Pat. Got you some resources. Patrick. He might be fighting that mute button.
Yeah, he might
have
the
mute
button.
With the mute button. So I'm wondering, though, what is it about motivation? Why do you think it's so difficult for people to be motivated?
Ooh, good question. I've never been asked that specific question. I think, like I said, it's some people that are self-motivated. Some people need a little push. There is a such thing as, and I don't like to claim it far as a product of your environment. I just say the people around you can either help you grow or they can hold you down. So just say, you know, some people lack the proper motivation because the people they're around are not motivated, all right, whether it's their parents, their cousins, their peers, their friends. So unless they're inspired or ambitious enough to, you know, to get the information outside of their environment, chances are they're limited to what information that's available to them. Now, I don't give out, I don't like to do excuses. Just because I got a barber who's been cutting my hair since I was 14, he got one arm, and he cuts hair with his left hand, drives a dually truck, owns a landscaping company and cattle. So I'm not going to give him excuses because now we got the internet, you got Google and YouTube. Between those two things, you can build a car from scratch. So.
Yeah.
You heard him, Joe. Stop making excuses. You can build a car.
Amen.
Nah. Don't make excuses.
I did my five push-ups.
Stop making excuses, Joe.
I did my five push-ups, man. What you talking about, dog? Let me try me. No, but I do think it's interesting that, you know, the idea, the concept, or even the whole total action of being motivated, that in certain things for certain people, even though they may vocalize how bad they want this particular thing, how they have to be motivated to get it. And so I'm always looking outside the box at motivational speakers because I was one myself. So so as I'm listening to you talk and you're saying you kind of analyze the aspects or the landscape of being a motivational speaker and seem like you found that more can be done because there is a difference between just talking to people and actually empowering people as well, because if there's no following no resources, then people are you just talk to them real hard.
Hey, you and just so, brought up a good point. Yeah.
And that leads me to this question, you know, because I would like you to vocalize it. What sets you, Tim the Motivator, apart from other people who claim themselves as motivational speakers?
Gotcha. I'll explain it to you like this. All right, just say Les Brown right now is the Michael Jordan of motivational speaking. Eric Thomas would be LeBron James, Kobe Bryant. So with those guys, now, not to say that they can't provide the steps to what they're trying to motivate you to do. Generally, they're better speakers, and this is probably why they do corporate arenas and bigger platforms, is because they're really kind of motivating people that are already somewhat motivated, or they already have a certain level of discipline. Whereas I'm motivating people that, and this is why I say I do business motivational speaking, So I kind of motivate people that might have ideas and they just need a little push plus the steps. So I give them application. You see what I'm saying? So I don't just inspire and motivate them. I educate them, inspire, motivate, and then transform them. So I give them the steps that they need to take, you know, to take to get to their dream or manifest their greatness.
Right. Okay. Okay. But and then, you know, like we were saying earlier, being able to give people resources to continue on rather than just making somebody feel good and sending them out. Because
there you go.
As the motivation runs out, what happens next?
Yeah, they lose momentum. And see, that's why I do. I have like mentorship programs. I got coaching programs. I got courses. I do workshops. I'm creating more content to where it's more instructional. But all my courses are pretty much straightforward, meat and potatoes. Like I don't, you know, bore you. Give you no 50-page course. I, you know, if it's all the meat and potatoes in 10 pages, it's a 10-page course, you know, or course plus video. So, yeah, I try to, you know, give people inspiration, motivation, and then guide them through where they're trying to get to.
All right. You see that, Pat? You too can be somebody in life.
That's what my mama used to say, and then I was born. So,
that's messed up.
What does it take? Because you started, you know, you detailed your businesses, and you've started at starting from 8 and moving on up. What if somebody were to ask you, what are the top, you say, 3 things that it takes to start and maintain a successful business? What would you say?
Gotcha, good one. I would say definitely focus. You know, you take focus. I would say self-education because, you know, in most cases, you know, learning is ongoing. And then I would say work ethic. Like, you know, work ethic is a big thing. Most people probably would add fearless, but entrepreneurs are not necessarily without fear. They just don't let fear immobilize them. So that's why I say work ethic, self-education, and focus.
Okay.
Now, I like what you just said, that entrepreneurs do see fear, do experience fear. They just don't let it immobilize them because, you know, it's like Pat and I were talking about this the other day about exaggerated ideas of motivational speakers. And some, especially in some of the speeches that can be given. So it's like, I don't fear anything. So I'll take any type of risk. And it's like, well, no, if you do your reading, successful business people, entrepreneurs take calculated risk. Or
there you,
you know,
go.
You know, when Steve Harvey told everybody, millionaires don't sleep eight hours a day. And, you know, it's some truth to that. But overall, it's just things like that that got people up in arms and this and this and that going back and forth. But it's just sometimes that's another example of some of these exaggerated ideas that can be given. So just kind of can you speak to that from your experience? What's a more realistic idea of what it takes to be a successful entrepreneur?
Gotcha. Now, that's a good point because Puff Daddy actually had to retract his statement similar to Steve Harvey. Like, he used to be like Team No Sleep. I want to say even Eric Thomas retract because – as we're on this new conscious wave, you know, along with the health wave, a lot of people understand that sleep is a very important part to basically recalibrating your energy and your thoughts and all that. So it's very important. Now, I will tell you, like, at the start of most of my ventures, and this is more by choice, that I've put in the 20, 21-hour days. Now, that's not to say that I don't preach that because everybody might not have that same discipline. I also was in the Army, and both of my dads were in the Army. So, I, you know, if we didn't wash dishes right, we had to wake up at 3 in the morning, wash the whole cabinet, wash what's in the dish drain, what's in the dishwasher. So I'm kind of wired up that way. So I wouldn't just tell, like, a aspiring entrepreneur, look, be prepared to work 21 hours a day until your dreams manifest. But I've personally done that myself. Now, I don't push it because I know it's not healthy. And like I said, everybody's not built that way. I just, you know, grew up a different kind of way to where it's like I've been doing multitask forever. Like between, to say, school, I worked a job, went to school, like high school, and I played sports. So I'm used to working long hours. So I'm built for what I'm actually becoming. So I would say now, as far as aspiring entrepreneurs, now you do want to be relentless, meaning, you know, you want to, you know, any free time you got. And matter of fact, I'll give it to you in a simple form. Napoleon Hill, the author of Think and Grow Rich, one of the books that I recommend to all readers, it's created more millionaires and billionaires than any other book. He said, all right, you got 24 hours a day. He said, you got 8 hours to make a living or earn a living. You got 8 hours to sleep, and then what you do in the other 8 hours determines where your life is going to be. So I think that's probably a more workable model for the average person. So 8 hours on your job, 8 hours family time and sleep, and then your 8 free hours, I would dedicate those towards my dream, period. So minimum 8 hours. And then I'll give you another way. If you look at a full-time job, that's 40 hours a week. Part-time is 29 or less. So I tell people, if you got a dream or a business idea, if you're not willing to put in at least part-time hours, which is 29 hours or less, then, you know, a week, then it's probably going to take a long time or it's going to be harder for it to manifest.
Right. But now, I mean, but that's more realistic, and I do appreciate that because it's not something that people – and we look at wide-eyed and be like, man, I ain't finna do that. But it's like,
yeah, okay, you're right.
You know, you're right. Splitting your time up.
You're right. Now, I'm going to add to it because for the people that are listening to your platform that might be energy-driven go-getters, I'd say, yes, the more you work, the faster it will work. So I was putting in long hours because I'm not one of those guys, and I don't tell people, yeah, it takes 1 or 2 years for your business to be profitable. I've started businesses in 10 days, and they went from $0 to $1,200 a day and, you know, so on and so forth. So I've built multiple six-figure companies inside of months. Like, so I put the work in up front so I can get the manifestation faster. So, yeah, the more you do work, then the faster it'll manifest. But if you want to, you know, use an average model and just, you know, do your 29 hours a week, that's cool, too.
Yeah, I mean, myself, I'm a workaholic. I admit it. I know the last couple of days I haven't really been working as much as I used to do because I've been kind of just chilling, trying to recuperate myself, but I'm pretty much a worker. I still work at 9 to 5 now, so I get off at 6 o'clock. I get home, so by 7:30, 8 o'clock, I'm working on mine, and I stay up working on mine to about 1 or 2 in the morning. So, but I do understand, being a former athlete, I do understand the importance of getting rest and being able to repair the mind, repair the body. But there's balance. I would say I tell people to find a balance in what they're doing.
There you go.
Don't overdo it, because you want to, like I say, if you work, you're going to reap what you sow if you work. But you want to be healthy enough to enjoy what you reap. So.
Absolutely, absolutely. I agree with you.
I don't, because you're wrong.
Yeah. No, I was just about to talk about you because we call Pat the Vampire because he sleeps about 30 minutes a day.
Pat got that high energy. That's a good thing, though.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. You know, some people, you know, can do it.
Nah, but I did like the way you broke down that piece earlier, because I think a lot of people, they do get caught up in the 60 hours of blah blah blah, and it that's tough, you know. But it's when you break it down in manageable chunks. But I think somebody earlier mentioned consistency. I think that is important as well. If you can only devote 2 or 3 hours to whatever you're doing, but you can get that 2 or 3 hours every day. Or that hour, or that hour and a half, or that 2 hours, you do that every day over a period of time. you know, but I like the way you broke that down. Can you be, can you do, can you devote part-time hours a week, you know, 29 mm-hmm. hours or less a week? That's pretty dope. And then it puts it in a different perspective, because a lot of the time for years, people have been shamed for pursuing their dreams part-time. You know,
yeah.
like if you ain't doing it full-time, then you ain't doing it. So it's nice to kind of have somebody else come in and, you know, like you broke it down. Yeah, it might take a little bit longer.
Yeah.
But if you hit it and you stay with it, something will break.
It'll happen. Absolutely. Absolutely. And you just brought up a good point. There are a lot of coaches and speakers that put out, like, and I don't know why, it's like they'll put out negative information almost like it's to discourage people from going into entrepreneurship, but I try to dispel, like, every myth that I can. That way people see, look, it's not easy per se, like, okay, yeah, I'm not going to work and then I just get everything I want. But, yeah, if you're willing to work, like I tell people, if you work, it'll work. So it just takes some work, you know, but it's not as hard as a lot of people make it.
Right. Right. Yeah, man, I like Pat said, I appreciate how you giving up information. So so I want to ask this question, because I'm always curious about this with different entrepreneurs, different motivational speakers, because you speak a specific message to your audience, but I know one of the consistent themes is usually discipline. So you're telling the listeners, or you're coaching the listeners and teaching them how to be disciplined within themselves. So for yourself, on a daily basis, what do you do to discipline yourself to be able to practice the lessons that you give your listeners or your clients?
Okay, good question. Like I was saying, I've been engaging in personal development for about 20 years. So every day I'm going to listen to at least an hour or two of some speaker, you know, providing some kind of value. If, like, just say I never was really big into reading per se, or reading just in general. Now, the alternative is you got videos now and you got audiobooks. So however you got to get the information. If you don't like reading, watch videos, listen to audiobooks. So I do a lot of that on a day-to-day basis. You know, I'm thinking around the clock. So I limit myself, limit TV time. Like, I don't hardly watch TV. Radio, I don't hardly listen to the radio. You know, I'd rather listen to something that's going to add value to my life or teach me something different. I spend a lot of time on social network. Building my network, so I got about 30,000 plus followers between LinkedIn, two Facebook pages, or three Facebook, two IG. So I've done it so long now. It's part of my daily routine. Is, you know, I listen to speakers, I'll write on my notebooks, I'll listen to audiobooks, you know, I write on my notebooks. I'll engage on social media, which is, you know, I'm pretty aggressive on there. Like, I've built multiple six-figure companies, no advertising, straight off, you know, Facebook, LinkedIn, IG, and probably Craigslist. So I'm always, you know, engaging in what I want, what I do, and where I aspire to be. So if I'm not there, I'm learning from the people that are there. So I'm always, you know, engaging in self-education and personal development. Like, that's a daily routine, 7 days a week.
Right.
Yeah.
And just for clarity, and can you basically break down why consistent self-care, consistent discipline, motivation is important for those who want to be successful?
Gotcha. Well, it just moves the needle faster, because it's like, to say Les Brown said, if you live life casually, you'll become a casualty. So just say in the South, we generally, especially, you know, as Black people, we're more casual. You know, it's like, I'm going to do this someday, all right? I was just at a speaking engagement the other day. I said, all right, there's a Sunday, Saturday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. There is no day of the week called someday. So someday will never happen. You see what I'm saying? So a goal without a date is just a dream. So in between reaching that dream, you got to be disciplined and do what you need to do in between where you're at and where you're trying to get to. So, you know, if you're trying to get there in a day, like Monday, Sunday of the month, of a year, then you're going to have to be very intentional.
Okay. I appreciate that. Yeah, Pat, so every day, man, you got to do your push-ups every day if you want a chest.
Chest overrated. I prefer the women I know prefer to cave in instead of poke out.
There you go. You get some tattoos, you'll be all right.
No. You don't mark up your temple with ink, you devil worshiper. Stop it. All right. So, someday, Joe is going to do something with his life. You see what I did there?
Uh-uh. Good luck.
Oh, brilliant. I love it. Zinc.
I forget. Said zinc.
Go ahead.
All right.
Go ahead.
Now, you said zinc. You helped me out. So. It's okay.
I don't get it.
I know you don't.
Go ahead, Joe.
So, you, like we talked about earlier, you have a component that you cater to the youth, and you want to help build entrepreneurs, kidpreneurs, youthpreneurs. Could you go into more detail on how you educate and motivate these kids to become entrepreneurs?
Yes, sir. So, like with my four courses, like I said, we kind of specialize the training or cultivated the training around those topics. So just say in my entrepreneurship course, I teach them everything from how to write business plans. I teach them about legal structure. I teach them how to create their vision board. I teach them how to get, you know, I teach them about tax ID numbers, even though a lot of them I coach, they don't have to get a tax ID number or a license, but I teach them about, you know, the full spectrum. Teaching about marketing, elevator pitch, sales calls, pretty much the whole nine. Then I also use, like, former junior CEO graduates to help kind of inspire them because they're closer to their age. So, say, for instance, I got a 12-year-old in Charlotte, North Carolina. She reached out to me last year when she was 11. She gave me her elevator pitch on Facebook. It was like, hey, I'm an 11-year-old. I own two stores in Charlotte Mall at 11. I already have celebrity clients like wrestler John Cena's daughter, Nick Cannon's daughter, Barack Obama's daughter. And she was like, how much would I charge to be her business coach? And I was just so amazed. I was like, well, I'm going to coach you for free because, you know, you're a Virgo like me and you remind me of the female version of my 12-year-old self. So, you know, right now she got deals on the table with Macy, Disney World. She's about to get all Nickelodeon shows. She takes meetings with people like T.I., Rick Ross. She just organized a Stop the Violence tour in Charlotte. She got another event. She's bringing in Anthony Hamilton and Fantasia. I mean, she's kind of like a – now, I don't base where she's at. To, like, far as the standards, because she would be more of a fast tracker, like a, you know, miniature Madam C.J. Walker. But I use her to kind of help bring the other kids on board as far as, like, inspiration. It's like, okay, well, she's 12, she's doing this. All right, I can do this, and that. So she kind of gives them a boost. And I use the same method as a basketball coach, like coaching my oldest son's team. I would use my better players to help the younger players or the other players as far as confidence building. Because just say in basketball, like if a kid is just learning how to dribble and every time they try to dribble somebody take the ball, they're going to get discouraged and their right. confidence is going to sink. But if I can use my better player to get the ball across half court and then put them in position to just take a shot or a few dribbles, it builds their confidence up. So that works. I use the same thing in business. Like I try to build their confidence up because confidence just like Tupac said, confidence is a game changer. Like, and I'm learning that even more and more as an adult. Confidence really is almost everything. Like, it's half the battle.
Right.
Yeah.
Definitely, definitely true, especially with the young kids. Building their confidence up early, being able to keep it up, keep it going, putting them in positions to win. But that takes vision, though, good coaching, though. And I just say it like that. That's good coaching to see what a player can do and put them in the right position for them to win rather than trying to force them to do something that they can't do.
There you go.
That's good. That's good work. That's definitely good work.
Thank you.
So, yeah, as far as your overall goals for yourself, you've done a lot in your life from an early age to now. You definitely have a long way to go as far as living in life. You're still a young man, so.
Thank you.
I mean, look, I'm 35, so you can. We're not old.
Oh yeah. Look, we're right there.
Right. So, but at this point in your career, in your life, what continues to drive you and push you forward to be successful, continue to be successful, to reach new heights?
Gotcha. At this point, and probably since the last 3 years ago, because I kind of had a spiritual evolution where I kind of connected with my higher purpose. So I'm, you know, pretty conscious, the popular phrase, awake, you know, I'm there and tuned and all that. So I kind of connected with my higher purpose, and it's more than just about money for me. So just say in my lifetime, even just say I've given away 3 six-figure companies. The last company I gave away was 2016, as I was going through my spiritual evolution. I gave away my cleaning company. I was doing $388,000 a year, had contracts in 3 states, 12 counties. And the logic was, once, you know, I'm talking to God, universe, however you want to look at it, I basically was asked a question. All right, how do you want to be remembered? Do you want to be this rich business guy, service-based guy, cleaning guy, tire shop owner, or do you want to change the world? So at that point, even though I knew that's where I was headed years ago, I just accepted my mission. So same as Tupac, Nipsey Hussle, Marcus Garvey, Malcolm X, I accepted my higher calling, and then it stopped being about money, and then I focused on impact first, and then while making an impact, I could earn an income. So just say legacy-wise, just like at one point in time, the richest man in the world, Andrew Carnegie, said, I'm going to spend the first 50 years of my life amassing a fortune, and then I'm going to spend the next 50 years giving it away. So ultimately, my bigger purpose is to be a philanthropist and, you know, pretty much help black culture as far as, you know, catching up in this real-life game that we're playing called Monopoly, you know.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, that's good. Make sure you give back and leave this world in a better place than where you found it. So.
Absolutely. All
right. So I want to get one more question before we get to our final question. That's Pat's favorite question. So.
Word.
Okay.
As a speaker, there are specific goals. You know, whatever industry a person is in, there's always a dream goal, a dream speaking assignment or something like that. So that's the realm where I'm going. So what's your ultimate speaking goal or your dream speaking goal? Like, where would you be speaking and what would your message that day be?
That's a really good one. I definitely never been asked that. And it's funny you say that because just this morning I called, like, all right, I got up about 7 this morning. And so, all right, one of my bigger visions is, and it'll happen pretty soon, like, it's connecting with the hip-hop industry. So I've actually been reaching out to black-owned record labels like Master P, T.I., Killer Mike, Jay-Z, J. Cole. So this morning, Dreamville, J. Cole's record label, kind of stuck with me a lot closer because he actually prophesied what I'm trying to do in one of his songs. He said if Martin Luther King was alive, he would have been signed to Dreamville. That's actually what my vision was years ago, even before I heard that verse, was I want to be one of the first speakers to sign a deal with a record label, not for the money, but more for their platform, because hip hop is the biggest genre and it influences the world. So I reached out to my cousin in Raleigh. His brother played basketball for Liberty University, best friends with John Wall. So I knew he had a lot of contacts, and I asked him, I was like, yo, where's Dreamville at? Like, how can I meet J. Cole in person? And he was like, his homeboy actually plays basketball with him on his adult basketball league in Raleigh, and the gym is right down the street from his house. So I just made that call today, so hopefully I'll be meeting with J. Cole pretty soon.
And that's what's up. That's what's up. I heard he's a real solid brother, so.
Yeah, and that's what my cousin said. So real down to earth, just real cool. So his vision and values align with where I'm at, and like I said, with that platform, now I could be, you know, speaking on the college tours, I can be, you know, inspiring people all over the world, and it's in larger sums. Like, it's, you know, I'll be speaking to the masses. Plus, you know, hip hop is a really big engine right behind you.
Right. Now that's cool, because that in itself is an aspect of hip hop, as far as when we talk about the original ingredients that go into hip hop.
There you go.
With that audience, that call and response aspect.
Look, we're about the same age, so you remember them songs like Self-Destruction, you know, I just heard it the other day. So it's like, all right, we're experiencing a universal conscious wave. So it's like you got the health thing, you got, you know, black empowerment, you got black love, you got, you know, the balancing of feminine and masculine energy. So what we're experiencing right now is the same thing we went through in the late 80s, early 90s, when you had the Public Enemy and self-destruction. So it's like, that's why you see an emergence of life coaches, business coaches, dating coaches, because it's like the universe, God, however you want to look at it, saw a need that, hey, look, we're headed on a crash course. Let's turn this thing around pretty fast. So it's like, those are the messages being sent.
Right. No, I got you.
Yeah.
I got you.
We
need as many positive influences and vehicles as possible, rather than just everybody out here on some negative vibes.
There you go.
Same thing over and over, tearing stuff down. So that ain't what we need. So we do need the positive gurus and the information out there, just getting out, uplifting and empowering people. Because at the end of the day, if we not where we need to be as a whole, then we tripping, basically.
Definitely. And Tupac said it in a song, Changes. He said we need to change the way we eat, change the way we live, change the way we think. It's on us to do what we got to do to survive. So really, it's no bigger enemy than ourselves. So even if you look at black-on-black crime or crime in general, most people, I think they brought this out in Hidden Colors, but most people kill within their race. So, yeah, white people kill the most white people. Chinese people kill the most Chinese people. Black people do kill the most black people. So we actually need to be focusing our energy on that versus, okay, yeah, it's bad when a cop, any kind of cop, kills any kind of person, definitely, you know, a black kid. But we kill more of us on a consistent basis. So that's the bigger issue. We need to put that fire out.
I got you.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a lot of different things out there that we can use to get the information. And when you talk about our health, I watched a documentary not too long ago on Netflix about focusing on hip-hop artists who were pushing the issue of health forward. So, you know, they were featuring like Angela Yee, The Lock, Common. Those are the ones.
They got the juice bar.
Right, but it's no longer the idea of you get successful, you get fat, because getting fat means you're successful. You get successful and you stay healthy, you know.
Yeah.
All right. So we're down to our final question. And, of course, you see that Pat is a bit special. So, and we got to help him out. So we set this question up a little like this, and then make him feel good.
Joe got a. Never mind. Anyway, so. So, if you were the all powerful ruler of Black America, with the ability to change anything you wanted, what would you change and what would your message to the people be?
Good question. First of all, churches would be transformation stations. With churches and barbershops and hair salons would be more transformation stations versus, you know, religion. I'm more spiritual, so I think, you know, we need to kind of redirect the focus. Basically, you know, we need to do more community outreach. Like if you're, you know, following religion, hey, do as Jesus would do, which is don't pass the crackheads, the troubled youth on the way to church. Let church be right where they at. We have business incubators, think tanks, and trade schools, and, you know, the larger communities, and have, you know, resources to where people that live in rural areas or country settings could still get there. We definitely would have, like Tupac said, a political action committee because, you know, the name of the game, this real-life game we're playing in, on this planet is monopoly. So the object is buy businesses, ownership, land ownership, and stay out of jail. So, you know, we would focus on business, entrepreneurship, trades, and politics. I would make entrepreneurship the main sport. Like Mark Cuban said, billionaire owner of Dallas Mavericks, business and entrepreneurship is the ultimate sport. So I would brand it to where parents are not focusing all their money on AAU, cheerleading camp, dance camp, band, all the stuff that kids are probably not going to pursue when they get out of high school. I would focus on business and entrepreneurship. Mentors, you know, we probably would have mentor, like a national recruitment for mentors daily, and basically send them out into the communities. I think, you know, there's a lot of single moms out here, a whole lot, especially in the black community. Now, some kids do turn out fine without parents, two parents. I had three parents. I still made mistakes, so they just need more guidance. Like I got a program called Misguided Ambition, and that's basically just taking, you know, what they did wrong and just kind of transferring that energy into entrepreneurship. So if they was robbing, stealing, killing, selling drugs, I say, all right, you got the ambition part right. It's misguided. So I would have, you know, definitely more life coaches, business coaches, just all kind of coaches in the communities. Definitely have more than one guidance counselor in the schools. I think that's really silly, like one counselor per 1,000 students. You know, I would definitely, you know, beef that up. I would just change a lot in business, politics, religion, and just across the board. Yeah, we need a full transformation.
No, that's cool. That's cool because we asked that question to 99% of our guests, and we just like to see the vastness of the answers that are given, because no two people give the same answer, believe it or not, to that question.
Gotcha. And
just seeing, because it's a I feel like every answer is a different piece to the puzzle.
And gotcha. So, no, that's smart. I like that.
You know, sooner or later, we're going to collect, put everything together and put something out so different people can
like
see the answers with that. So,
yeah, I like that.
No, man, we definitely appreciate you coming by. Before we get up out of here, how can people find you? If I'm on social media or whatever, if somebody gets to listen to this interview, how can they get in contact with you?
Gotcha. On Facebook, this is Timbo, my country name, T-I-M-B-O, Black Sun, S-U-N. Or you can just put in Timothy Simpson, same thing on LinkedIn. My website, well, one of them is timthemotivator.com. My business coaching site is businesscoachtim.com. My youth entrepreneurship academy is juniorceoacademy.com. If you're interested in a cleaning business, I got a coaching program. It's myjanitordrivesabenz.com. Then all my social media handles, IG, Twitter would be Tim the Motivator, email timthemotivator@gmail.com. And I usually give out my direct number online, so it's 803-261-5948.
All right, y'all heard the people. Get in contact with this gentleman so you can get that information that you need. Let Tim the Motivator Let Tim the Motivator motivate you and help you help yourself become a better person.
So there you go. I like how you put that.
You got it. You got to do it right, man. So, definitely appreciate you giving your time, your information, and yes, man, just everything that you do for the community, that you do for yourself and your family, definitely hats off to you. Definitely look forward to having you on here in the future, and we're not going to take up too much more of your time, but do want to let you know that we appreciate everything that you do and appreciate your time here today.
Well, I thank y'all brothers for having me, man. Look, sorry for being a little late, but I appreciate y'all having me, man.
Nah, man, we all good, man, and we definitely appreciate you, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, y'all take it easy. Be blessed.
Yeah, Tim the Motivator. So, you know, one of his websites, timthemotivator.com, make sure you go check him out. You can learn some more from the brother. Pat.
Yo.
What I told you before the interview started, what did I say about the way you live your life before the interview started?
You said that I was a model citizen of excellence and superiority.
I mean, hey, man, there you go. That's how we do it. So, I drunk some water earlier that didn't taste like water, and I'm fearing for my life now.
Well, you know, all you got to do is go to sleep, and if you don't wake up, then you know it wasn't good. But if you do wake up, you'll be all right.
Well, how would I know if I wake up if I go to sleep? Because I still think I'm dreaming, so it'll ruin everything, wouldn't it?
Nah, because you know when you wake up.
Do you? Or do you know when you go to sleep?
Nah, you don't know when you go to sleep. You know when you wake up.
Is that, you sure that's not what the government want us to think?
I mean, I think the government don't want us to think at all.
Touche. It was a good day. So, hey, man, tell the people how they can support Lessons from the Screen on Patreon.
Patreon.com/LFTS. You can support Patreon, $1 episode, $1 a day. Or you know what? You can go to the Freedom Train website, too, and, you know, leave comments on the shows and leave reviews for the shows there, because that's our website. I know I see a lot of people dropping comments on various other website podcast distributors and blah, blah, blahs. But, like, if you really want to directly talk to us or contact with us, the Freedom Train website, freedomtrainradio.com, that's where we're at. So if you don't want to support via your dollars with Patreon, or, you know, just you can send, you know, you could just send PayPal or whatever, you can still show your support by going to the website and leaving a review on the shows you listen to.
Straight up and down. And you can support The Fix on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/TheFix. Like you said, you can go directly to our website, www.freedomtrainradio.com, to talk to us. You can shoot us a message on Instagram at Freedom Train Network. Shoot a message on Twitter, Freedom Train Net. On Facebook, Freedom Train Network. Or the ladies can call me at 1-800. I got you right now in my bedroom. That's all one number. So, with that being said, I'm Joseph. He's Pat. And Pat, I can hear you hating right now. But it's all good. The ladies love me, though. It's all good.
I'm sure they do. They love Cool James, too.
He stole that from me. But I'm Joseph. He's Patrick. It's the Freedom Train Podcast Series. Shout out to the brother, Tim the Motivator. And, man, see y'all on the other side. The end of the news.